We'll say good morning. Let's finish. Are we out of seats ready?
Okay. Okay. All right. We'll be at Darche tomorrow. All right. So. We'll say just before I begin, you know, it's really a Shechiano v'kiyemano v'higiyano lazman hazeh. You know, Baruch Hashem, how incredible it is, thank God, that now our greatest challenge is where to house our Shira. Somebody mentioned that the Siyum, I think it was Baruch Fishel who mentioned that the Siyum on Sunday night, how, you know, 12 plus years ago, we started with an Amid Yomi Shir, where I think it was me, Mr. Martyr, Michael, I'm trying to, Baruch Fishel, were you there in the beginning? Baruch Fishel, the Amid Yomi, Meir Raskis was there for a little while, I mean, not a little while, it was there for, Meir Raskis was there with us. That's right, Meir Raskis brought us our first coffee pot, Baruch Hashem.
For 12.
And Baruch Hashem, how beautiful it is now. Thank God we've outgrown a Beis Medrash. It looks like we may outgrow an upstairs Beis Medrash, Baruch Hashem. It's an incredible testament to all of you. Never did I think that I'd be driving to shul at 5:37 in the morning, and the mamish looked like kibbutz golios, people coming from all different directions, you know, to put their flag in the dirt, to be able to figure out where they're going to be able to sit for the next couple of years. But halavai, the next time we have to grow and the next time we have to expand space, it shouldn't be a scramble for space in Baltimore. Halavai, you know, the beautiful part of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah Abba says, one of the Asar Nisim, one of the beautiful miracles of Yerushalayim, was Velo Amar Adam Tsarli HaMakom. In Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, there's room for everyone. You see, in Golos, there's not room for everyone. In Golos, there are space constraints. In Golos, there are small spaces. In Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, miraculously, the place that is really heaven on earth, so there's room for everyone. So halavai, we should be Zochem, Yerz Hashem, the next time we need to make a move because of limited space. Halavai, it should be to Yerushalayim, and a Yashar Koach to all of you. Really an incredible Yashar Koach, that Baruch Hashem, there's such a beautiful and strong Kol Torah at the wee hours. I'm not sure if it's morning or night yet, but whatever it is, Baruch Hashem, that all of you are responsible for that Kol Torah. And we thank our sponsors, the Lerner and Miller families, for sponsoring the Daf Yomi in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Shmuel ben David, Sam Axelrod. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshama will have an aliyah. All right, the both said, let's begin. So today's Daf is Daf Tes. So we're picking up again. We're picking up Ches Amud Beis. We're picking up again. We left off Eladin. A lot to do today. So it's going to be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Eladin arba misos lo batl. So remember again, the Gemara said that Lamaisa again, even though there's no longer a Beis Din, to go ahead and administer the arba misos, the four different, do you hear me in the back? Okay. Even though, again, there's no Beis Din to go ahead and administer the Arba Misos, the four different types of death, nevertheless, again, the Ribono Shel Olam has a way of bringing those deaths about. The Yomar says, for example, Mishnis Chayiv Skila, if somebody was Chayiv Skila, or Nofel Menagag, or Chayiv Dar Saso, either he falls off from the roof, or a wild animal tramples upon him. Mishin is chayiv Srefa, because we'll say again, remember, the notion of falling off the roof, because again, that's how they would go ahead and kill someone with skill, first of all, throw them off the roof. If they didn't die from the impact, then they would stone them. The pain of the stones, like the animals pouncing upon a person. Srefa, the person is chayiv Srefa. O nofel b'daleka, either they fall into a fire. O nachash makisho, or a snake, because of its venom, is like fiery venom, ultimately bites them. Mishin is chayiv Hariga, someone ultimately who is subject to beheading. O nimsar lamalchus, he's given over to the monarchy. O listin ba'in alav, or armed robbers ultimately go ahead and come upon him. Mishin is chayiv chanika, so someone who is subject to strangulation. O tovea benar, he drowns in the river. O meis bisarunchi. Sarunchi will say some type of disease where the throat constricts and ultimately a person is unable to breathe. It will say, now I want to be clear. The Gemara is not suggesting that every single person who dies from one of these things therefore died because of Misas Bezen. A person dies in a fire, they die because, it's not what it's saying. What the Gemara is just pointing out is that even though we no longer have a Bezen to go ahead and administer these particular capital punishments. Nevertheless, the Ribono Shel Olam does have ways to administer these punishments ultimately to those who may deserve them. Tanya, how Rabbi Meir Omer? Rabbi Meir says, well, this is an amazing Gemara. How do we know that the Ribono Shel Olam acts in a quid pro quo fashion? How do we know that ultimately the midah in which a person measures out, the midah in which a person goes ahead and acts towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the way in which, in the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts towards us. Shene Amar, because the Pasuk says, here the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk, Av Yishayo, Bisa'asa Bishalcha Tirivena. Literally, with the precise measure, Tirivena, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu engage in the conflict. Meaning, the measure in which, the way in which you engage with God and you engage with the world is the midah in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages with you. An incredible yisod in terms of how the Ribono Shel Olam runs the world. Ainli elasa minay l'rabos tarkov, kav, v'chatzi kav, rova, v'chatzi rova, tuman v'och l'minay. So once I said, I only know that this applies to a large measure. For example, a sa'ah is a large measure. In other words, what Rashi points out is, I only know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts midah keneged midah with what Rashi calls an avira gidola, a big sin. How do I know that the midah keneged midah, the quid pro quo nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions towards us, applies to even smaller things? To which the Gemara says, Tamu lomar ki kol so'on so'ein. Every esoin barash, every measure is mixed together with great noise, barash. In other words, that even the smallest measure, even the smallest aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind. Uminayin, shekol pruta upruta. We have to find somewhere Mr. Shlomo can have a normal seat. Right? So, Ted, you don't have a seat. You haven't given it to the building fund. It's an excellent point. We should talk. So the Gemara says, I think I left you a message, didn't I? And I will say, how do we know that every single pruta, every single small aveira, ultimately combines to what he calls the cheshbon gadol? How do I know that every single aveira, even a small one, ultimately counts? Talmud lomar, achos la'achos limtzo cheshbon. Dechein matzino besota. We'll say, so too we see when it comes to sota. Shebemida shemadada ba madadu la. What's that we see with Sota? That the way we punish her ultimately is Mida Kineged Mida. He amda pesach besa li ra oslo. She stood by the entranceway of her home to motion into the adulterer to come in. Lefichach koin not, I'm sorry. Lefichach koin ma'amida sharnikanor ma'ar kolona l'chol. So therefore again we stand her by sharnikanor, and therefore again her degradation is there for everyone to see. He piersala sudrin not in aurosha. She put on beautiful kerchiefs to make herself look beautiful for the adulterer. Lefichach koin not al keep on the aurosha. Therefore, the coin removes the head covering from her head. And puts it by her feet. She ultimately made herself look all beautiful for the adulterer. Therefore, her face becomes pale. We'll see that's the result of the waters. She put on eye makeup. Therefore, we'll see that her eyes bulge out ultimately as a result of this process. He called Allah as Sarah, Lafichach Kohen Soser as Sarah. She went ahead and she braided her hair. Therefore, again, the Kohen undoes the braid. He harasa lo be'etzba. She motioned for the adulterer to come in with her. She motioned with her finger that the adulterer should come in. Lafichach tzipar neha noshros. Therefore, her fingernails fall off. He chagra la betziltzel. She adorned herself with a belt to make her look beautiful. Lafichach. Kohen mevi cheval hamitzi v'koshal amala midadeha. Therefore, the Kohen goes ahead and brings. Remember again, this cheval mitzri. This cheval mitzri is this where we saw machlokas Rambam and Rashi. So whether or not it literally means like an Egypt from Egyptian palms or just a rope from palm fibers. He pashta lo esirecha. She extended her thigh for him. Lefichach yirecha nofelas. Therefore, ultimately, again, her thigh is the first part of her body. Or literally, nofelis means it sinks in, or it becomes, nofelis, it falls. We'll see what that means. He kibaltu al kresa. She receives the adulterer on her stomach, meaning he lays on her. Lefichach bitnat sava. Therefore, her stomach swells. He ha'echilasam ma'adane olam. She gave him delicacies of the world to eat. Lefichach karbana ma'achal behema. Therefore, her karban, ultimately, again, is made of animal food. He ishkas alo yain meshubach bekosos meshubachim. She gave him to drink good wine in beautiful goblets. Lefichach koin mash kemayim hamarim bemekedo shel cheres. Therefore, the koin gives her to drink bitter waters in literally an earthenware vessel. He asasa b'seser. She conducted herself with this immorality in private. Yoshev b'seser elyon sam ba'panim. Ultimately, he who dwells, Ribbono Shel Olam, who dwells b'seser elyon in the hidden dimensions of the above the celestial sphere, ultimately turns his attention to her. Shene emar, he quotes over here from the pasuk in Iyov, ve'ein no'ef shamra neshef. Le'mor lo, I'm sorry, let me read that again. Ve'ein no'shef, ve'ein no'ef shamra neshef le'mor lo tishureini ayin. Literally, the eye of the adulterer guarded itself, hopefully guarded itself from being seen by others, and no one else will see what I'm doing. The idea of it is that she tries to conduct herself in secrecy, but it turns out, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and exposes all that she has done. But also, the point of all this is to show that the punishment of Sota is Mida Kineged Mida, is a quid pro quo. So the Gemara goes back to Davar Acher. He asasa b'seser. She went ahead and she conducted herself in private, meaning with her adultery. Hamakom pirsama begaloi. The Ribbono Shel Olam exposes her iniquity, her wrongdoing in public. Shene Amar, quotes over here from the pasuk from Mishlei, tikasena sina b'masaon. B'mashon, excuse me, tigala ra'aso bekahal. That literally, he who goes ahead, who tries to disguise their animosity, ultimately their evil will be revealed in front of the kahal. Ume achar dinafgale me'achos la'achos limtza cheshbon. So we'll say, now that we establish the fact that ultimately a person is held accountable, mida keneged mida, even the smallest aveira, from the pasuk of achos la'achos limtza cheshbon. Ki kol so'on so'in b'ra'ash lamali. Why do I need that pasuk of kol so'on so'in b'ra'ash? Why do I need that pasuk? Ultimately tells me that every measure is measured with ra'ash, with noise, which taught us mida keneged mida. Now that I know that there's mida keneged mida, even for the smallest of things, why do I need that other pasuk? To which the Gemara says, Lamali lichemida. So that pasuk teaches me that not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold us accountable for even the smallest of sins, but what? But that Ribbono Shel Olam punishes us mida kenegin mida. Umeachar denafkalei miki kol soein soon soein berash. But if that's the case, that I learn mida keneged mida from the pasuk of kol so'on so'in berash, then why do I need the original pasuk quoted of b'sa'asos b'shilchat rivena? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. L'chid Rav Chinana bar Papa. Because Rav Chinana bar Papa, don't Rav Chinana bar Papa, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'uma, ad shas shilucha, the Ribbono Shel Olam does not go ahead and punish a nation. Ad shas shilucha. Rabbi says shilucha means over here ibuda min ha'olam. Meaning, this is very interesting. The Ribbono Shel Olam only punishes. This dafka refers to the Gentile nations. Only visits punishment upon the Gentile nations when their iniquity is full. Meaning, Rabbi says when it comes to Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu often punishes us in smaller intervals. And the reason for that is that the punishment should be a little bit less, as opposed to punishing us once we've filled up, so to speak, our sin our sin quota. With the nations of the world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu only punishes once they have finished their sin quota. The Gemara says, "Ini, is that true?" Va'amar Rava. Rava said, "Shlosha kosos ha'amuras b'Mitzrayim lama." Yet again, the pasuk refers to three cups that Egypt drank. So what's the deeper meaning of those three cups? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Gimel kosos bechalova shel sharamashkim." This refers to the dreams of the sharamashkim, of the butler. Three cups were in the dreams. Why were there three cups in the dreams, ultimately, of the sharamashkim? Achos sheshasa bimei Moshe. So one of them referred to the cup that Paro drank in the days of Moshe. In other words, one cup refers to the existence of Egypt in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'achos sheshasa bimei Paro Necho. And one of them referred to the cup that ultimately Mitzrayim drank during the days of Paro Necho. So Paro Necho, ultimately Rashi points out, Lavo Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel lahakos es eretz Mitzrayim. Talking about the war between Mitzrayim and Bavel. So again, one cup refers to the war between Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael. Second cup refers to the war between Paro and Babel. The achas she'asida lishtos im chavrosel. And the third cup refers to the cup that ultimately Mitzrayim is going to drink with its friends in the Messianic era. So what do you see from this? You see that Egypt has been around, and Egypt always will be around. Which sounds strange, because if what we just said is true, namely that's what? Namely that once a nation fills its sin quota, it is destroyed. Mitzrayim certainly filled its sin quota already, and yet not only is it around, but it will still be around Yemos HaMashiach. So Gemara, what's going on? So maybe you'll say, I have a very simple answer. What's the simple answer? That the Egyptians that are around today are not the same Egyptians. They're not the biblical Egyptians. So ultimately, again, the biblical Egyptians were destroyed. These new Egyptians, ultimately, who live in Egypt, they're not the real Egyptians. To which the Gemara says, is that true? V'atanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, min yamin ger mitzvi haya li chaver, excuse me, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says the following, min yamin ger hamitzvi, Haya li chaver mitamidi Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Huda says, I had a friend, his name was Minyamin, and he was an Egyptian convert. He was a friend of mine, and he was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And what did Minyamin say? I'm a Minyamin, ger mitzriani, I am an Egyptian convert, mitzri rishon. I am a first generation Mitzri convert. I also remember, what's the halacha with the Mitzri convert? Dar Shlishi, third generation is permitted to marry into the general pool. Remember, first three generations, they can marry amongst themselves, they can marry other converts. Third generation and on, they could marry into the regular pool of Klal Yisrael. So what happened? So Minyamin says, I'm a ger Mitzri Rishon. Then Asasi Mitzris Rishona, I married another Egyptian convert, she's also Rishona. Asi Libni Mitzris, so our son, our child, is going to be a Sheni, a Mitzri Sheni. Asi Libni Mitzris Shnia, I'll marry off my son to another second generation Mitzri convert. Kedeshi Hey Ben Bini Mutar Lava Bakal, in order that my grandson, my grandchild, will be permitted to marry into the, we'll call it the regular marriage pool of Klal Yisrael. I'll say, just as an aside, the reason why this, we actually learned this sugi before, the reason why this is interesting is because the Gemara discusses what happens when you have, let's say, a Mitzri Rishon marries a Mitzri Sheni. What's the status, you have that mixed generational marriage, what's the status of the offspring? According to most opinions, the halacha is that the offspring follows, I don't know what the right term is over here, the weaker parent. In other words, so for example, if a Rishon marries a Sheni, that child is a Sheni and not a Shlishi. That's why Minyamin is saying, you know, I'm a Rishon marrying a Rishon. My son's going to be a Sheni. I'm going to make sure I marry him off to a Sheni. That way my grandchild will be a Shlishi and they can marry into the normative marriage pool. The reason why this is important is because already you see Talmidim Rav Rabbi Akiva, and yet they're assuming that the Mitzrim are still the real Mitzrim. So to say that the biblical Egyptians disappeared would clearly be not true. Oh, so that's a good kasha. That's a good kasha. Apparently Nebuchadnezzar was mevalbel the nations, but apparently some of the indigenous population still remained in place. So the Gemara says, "Ella." This is what the pasuk comes to teach us. Am Reb China bar Papa, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaMelech Ad Shas Shilucho. Oh, what it means is that God does not go ahead and exact punishments from kings until their iniquity is full. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, B'sa'asa T'shalachena T'rivena. Ameimar Masni L'hod Reb China bar Papa Aha. So Ameimar, he framed Rav Chinina Bar Papa's statement with the following idea. My dichsiv ki ani Hashem lo shanisi, v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo kilisem. What's the meaning of the pasuk when it says, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo shanisi, which literally means I have not changed, v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo kilisem. And you, children of Yaakov, I have not destroyed. Ani Hashem lo shanisi, lo ikisi l'uma v'shanisi lo. This is very interesting. Bono Shalom says, I am God, I have never struck a nation and then struck them a second time. I've never repeatedly punished a nation. The Atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilisim. Now, of course, one exception to this rule is Klal Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, because no matter what happens to you or how many times it happens to you, I assure you that you'll be okay. D'chsiv, because the pasuk says, Chitzai achale bom. Literally, now we'll say the way we literally translate that is literally, achitzai achale bom, I will finish my arrows. I will finish my arrows against them. What does that mean? Kalin, vehein einan kalin. Bon Shalom says, you know, there are no more arrows. There are no more arrows. I thought it was like a drum roll. Right? There are no more arrows in my bow. So I have finished with my arrows, but yet what? Klal Yisrael still exists. It was an amazing message where the Baal Shem tells us many times that as much as sometimes it's going to hurt, and as much as sometimes it's going to do things to us that seem to defy comprehension, one thing is clear. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, our people will never cease to exist. We may limp a little bit, we may be damaged, we may be hurt, our hearts may be broken, our bodies may be broken, but Klal Yisrael will always exist. Amar Rav Hamnuna, the Rebbe say again, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu nifra min ha'adam, ashet tismalei sa'aso. So the Rebbe say, this is actually a very interesting statement that is subject to much dispute. But here the Gemara says, Kadosh Baruch Hu only exacts punishment from a person up only when his iniquity is full, only when his measure of sin is complete. Shene Emar, because he quotes over here the pasuk from Eov, Bimlaos Sifko Yetzer Lo. The reason I say that is subject to this tweet is because remember we saw in Masechas Yuma. Right? Do you remember the Gemara in Yuma where the Gemara brings down that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits much smaller yisurin upon a person in order not to have to exact more major punishment. So sometimes Ribono Shel Olam will give us small punishments, again, at different intervals, to lessen the sentence. So for example, remember the Gemara says, what's one of the examples of Yisurim Kitanim? So the Gemara says, I want to get a quarter from my pocket. So I reach in my pocket to pull out a quarter, and I go ahead and I pull out the nickel. The Gemara says, Zohi Yisurin Shel Ava. That's also misfortune. That's also punishment. Things don't go my way in life, big or small. That's also misfortune. But understand, that's out of love. That's sometimes Ribono Shel Olam has to do certain things to us, but chooses to go ahead and visit upon us a series of smaller setbacks instead of chas shalom larger punishment. Here, Rav Hamnuna is taking a different approach. Rav Hamnuna seems to say, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu only exacts punishment from a person once their sin quota is filled. Dar Shem Chinah Bar Papa, Ma'i Dichsiv, Raninu Tzadikim Ba'ashem, La'yisharim Nahava Sehila. What's the meaning of the pasuk? What's the meaning of the pasuk that says, literally, the tzaddikim, the righteous ones, should sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La'yisharim Na'ava Sehila, Al Tikri Nava Sehila, Ela Nove Tehila. Don't read it as Na'ava Tehila, which means pleasant, ultimately, are the songs or are the tefilos, but rather Nove Tehila. We'll say Nove means an abode, or a dwelling place, a domicile. What does that mean? Zemo Sheva David, Shiloh is amazing. Shiloh Shiltu Son Ehem Bim Ma'aseyim. This refers to Moshe and David, who Rabbo said the enemies of the Jewish people never were able to lay hands on what these two great men built. David, Dechsev Tevo Ba'aret Shareha. So this is actually quite amazing. David HaMelech, remember, built the walls around Yerushalayim, the original walls around Yerushalayim. Well, I shouldn't say that. The Yavusi built the original walls around Yerushalayim, but David HaMelech ultimately, again, built up Ir David. He built up his own city. So the Pasuk says that when the enemies marched on Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the nace, like almost like a Yericho, like nace, and the walls that David built sunk into the ground in order that the Gentile invaders should not have any ability to take advantage of these walls. Moshe, listen to this. The Amar Mar, Mishanivna Mikdash Rishon, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, Nignaz Ohel Moed, Krashav, Krasav, Ubricha, Va'amuda, Va'adonav. But so listen to this. When the Beis HaMikdash was built, the Mishkan was hidden away. Where was the Mishkan hidden away? Heichan, Amrav Chista, Amrav Vini, Tachas Mechilos Shal Heichal. Well, remember, we know that Shlomo HaMelech constructed a complex series of tunnels underneath the Beis HaMikdash for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one is an escape from Yerushalayim. He saw prophetically that there was going to be a time when this Beis HaMikdash would no longer, unfortunately, stand. Also a place to be able to hide certain things like the Aron HaKodesh. So ultimately, says the Gemara, something amazing. That's what? That Lamaisa, again, the Mishkan is still hidden to this day, hidden underneath the tunnelways, somewhere underneath the Beis HaMikdash. Tanur Rabbanan, Sota Nitna Ina B'Misharos, another amazing Gemara. Back to Sota. Sota Nasna Ineha B'Mishaino Ra'ila. So we'll say the Sota went ahead and literally set her eyes on something that was not appropriate for her. Masha Biksha Lo Nitala. What she wanted ultimately was not given to her. Umasha Biyada Natluha Mimena. And what she had was taken. We'll say here, the Gemara introduces us to an incredible Yisod, which is that sometimes when people lust after and desire things and actively try to acquire things that they should not have, not only do they not get the things that they lusted after, but unfortunately, they lose everything they already had. It's an incredible mussar in life. in general. So here the sota is the paradigmatic example of this. She lusted after something. Not only could she not have anymore the thing that she lusted after, but she loses everything she had until then as well. Shekalan, why? Because the Gemara, again, obviously we'll say, what this refers to is not only could she not build a life with the adulterer, that's not possible, but she also loses the marriage that perhaps she spent so many years building. The Gemara says, here's the principle, says Shekalan, no sin ina b'mashe eno shalo, because whoever literally sets their eyes on something that is not theirs, and not only something that is not theirs, but something that should not be there, what you're trying to acquire will not be given to you, and that's what you already have. Ultimately, again, it's taken. Rabbi says, it's an incredible muster in life. You understand that sometimes people spend their lives trying to acquire, trying to get that thing, and they never think for a moment, is that thing, and you could follow me, whatever the thing is that thing really what's best for me? And they spend years. They spend years trying to acquire that thing. And so Lemaisa again, they lose everything in the pursuit of that thing. They go ahead and they lose out on everything they have in their hands. Well, so I'll just tell you, can I take a 30-second commercial for just a moment? I mean, no, we were finishing this anyway. So, I should say something interesting. So, the truth is, I made a mistake. I have to give Akara Satov to the Lerner and the Miller families. I didn't announce the full sponsorship. So the Miller, it's in honor, Baruch Hashem, Shechiyonu V'Kimonu V'Zechisi, today's my 40th birthday. So Shkoyach to the Lerners and the Millers, I can't not announce. So I'll just tell you, just an incredible... It's everybody. I'm sorry. Yeah, Yaakov, who was that? Yaakov or Ari. All right, let me cut that out. So I say, Shkoyach to the whole Shia. So I'll just tell you something amazing for that. Thank you. I'm sorry.
You should just read it.
Like you do every day.
Okay. I have to read it out loud. I should have. Let's go back to the Gemara.
And someone else.
I don't know. Ari, you're. Do I have to read it? Okay. Yeah. Just read. Yeah.
Daf Yomi today is sponsored by the Daf Yomi Shir in honor of the birthday of our Rav.
Amen. So I'll tell you something amazing. Just a quick ha'ara about this, because when I was much younger, my youth. So I worked in accounting for a little bit of time, for a little bit less than a year. And what was amazing to me is the number of people that were in a job that they hated. It's not African accounting. I think you find this everywhere. It is in accounting. that they hated, but they were doing it. They were doing it because they had a whole plan, right? The whole plan was that in 2 years you're a senior, in 5 years you're a manager, in 7 years you're a senior manager, in 10 years you're a partner, 15 years you're an equity partner, and by the time you're 35 years old, everything is great. And it blew my mind that someone is willing to invest 15 years in something they can't stand it, literally, like, can't stand it. Vaharaya, you see in the Velt what people do after work. There's a reason why people go drinking all the time. And the truth is, it's because people, it's an escape. It's mamish an escape. And I'll tell you what the greatest thing was. So I couldn't do that. I couldn't bring myself to that. The amazing part was the firm which I was working for, it's one of the big six accounting firms, was bought out. And most of those people didn't have jobs because, again, they were That's the Gemara saying. Be careful what you work towards in life. Because if you're not working towards the right things, if you don't have the right goals, not only will you not get what it is that you're working towards, but you'll lose out on everything else in the interim. It's an incredible yisod that I think most of humanity stumbles over this and makes this incredible mistake. Of course, again, the Gemara is using the example of sota. That's an exaggerated example. Oh, that's exaggerated of immorality. I'm talking about people who lead very good lives and try to do the right thing, but ultimately, again, have this view of what they're wishing for. Be careful what you wish for. Make sure what you're working towards and aspiring towards is something noble, important, and good. And make sure, again, that in the pursuit of that noble desire, that you're not sacrificing your present and you're not giving up all the brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you. So that's the Gemara. Let's go back a little bit. V'chei matzinu b'nachash HaKadmoni. So the Gemara says, we'll give you an example of this with the Nachash. What happened with the Nachash? Shanasan inov b'ma she'eno ra'u ilo. The Nachash went ahead and set its eyes on something that was not appropriate for it. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara is quoting over here, Rashi is quoting over here, that the Nachash desired. What did the Nachash desire? So there are two possibilities. Rashi actually quotes the Medrash that says that the Nachash desired Chava. The Nachash wanted Chava. The only way to get Chava was to knock Adam out of the picture. The goal ultimately was not for Chava to go and eat from the tree. The goal was for her to give Adam to eat from the tree so that the Nachash and Chava could be together. But also on a deeper level, what the Nachash wanted was to be the crown jewel of creation, right? Man was above the Nachash. The Nachash didn't want someone above him. So what happened? So that, of course, the Nachash did not get what it wanted. And ultimately, again, that which the Nachash had was taken from it. So the Gemara, what does that mean? That was the Nachash that was taken from it. God said, Nachash, I wanted you to be the king of the animal kingdom. And what happens? But now you are cursed from all the animals and from all the behemoths and from all the chayas. So I said that you, Nachash, should walk with an erect posture. Now you're going to slither on your stomach. I said, God says, Nachash, I wanted you to eat human food, now you're going to eat the dirt. Who Amar Herog Esa Adam Ve'eses Chava? I said, right, Nachash said, I'm going to kill Adam so I can marry Chava. Achshav Eva Ashis Ben Chau Ben Aisha Ben Zaracha Ben Zara. Now, there'll be a natural inherent animosity between your offspring, mankind, and the snake. V'chei Matzinu Bekayin, V'korach, Bilam, Doeg, Achitofel, Gechazi, Avshalom, Adonio, Uzio, Vahaman. But say, what's the common denominator among all these people? Shenosnu Einehem B'mash She'eno Ra'i Lahem. But say, these are all people that simply put their eyes, set their sights on things that were not appropriate. Like these were all the common denominators, these are all great people. What's the problem, say? They set for themselves the wrong goals. They created the wrong finish line. They created the wrong life objectives. When you create for yourself the wrong life objectives, not only do you not accomplish those objectives, but what else? You lose out on the opportunity. You lose all of the brachas. You lose out on the opportunities. All the other things that you could have. An incredible, incredible musr. First of all, number one in life, make sure you have goals. That's what's important also, because so many people go through life just going through the motions. You have to have goals. But just as important as having goals, make sure your goals are the right ones in life. Make sure your aspirations are noble. Make sure they're meaningful. Make sure you're working towards something great, because if not, then chas v'shalom, not only will a person not reach their goals, but you'll lose out on all of your present blessings as well. Minahani mili. So the Gemara says, where is this from? Ileima. I'm sorry. Be'erech eschila ba'aviro. So remember, again, the Mishnah said that because the sin of adultery begins with the woman's thigh, so ultimately, again, that's where punishment begins as well. So where do we know this? Minahani mili. So perhaps it's because the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause literally your thigh to fall and your stomach to swell. So you see over here that punishment begins with the thigh first. But the pasuk says, but yet the pasuk itself says, we're talking about the actual punishment of the sota. So the pasuk says her stomach will swell and her thigh will fall. Amar Abayi said, ki layit tchile yerech v'hadar beta en layit umay. Umaya ki badki, or ki, excuse me, umayim ki badki, korochayu badki. Beten Beresha, Vahadar Yerech. So we'll say, so again, it's quite possible that what? When the curse comes, so the curse is first made towards the, or first focuses on the thigh, then the stomach. But when the actual punishment occurs, the punishment occurs in the normal course of the way the waters enter the body. So since the waters will first impact the stomach and then the thigh, so the punishment itself is first manifest in the stomach and then the thigh afterwards. I beklal anayim, but by the curse it also says, Namiksiv, Litzbos Beten Velan Pil Yerech. But by the curse, it also says that what? That the stomach will swell first and then the thigh will fall, which again indicates to us that Lamaisa what? That the stomach is first, then the thigh, which seems to go against the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said the thigh is punished first because of Mida Kenegan Mida. Hahu demodula coin de beten bereshiva hadar biyerach shalahotila zamayim amarim. That's the coin telling her, just so you know what to expect, the waters will impact your stomach first and then your thigh, in order that what? In order that she should be aware of what it is that's occurring, in order that no one should think negatively of the waters. What does that mean? That a person shouldn't think that the waters aren't working because they impact the stomach first and then the thigh. Therefore,
the Kohen says, as much as Mida Kenegan Mida dictates that the thigh should be punished first because that's where the Avera started, but the warders check the woman in the normative course, we'll call it of you know, physical ingestion. So because of that, the stomach is impacted first and then the thigh afterwards. Says the Mishnah. Both say this is you know, just so you should know, people often wonder, you know, why, like, in there's such an emphasis on Gemaras, in Gemara in general, like in Yeshiva learning. Well, I say, just so you understand, because again, you'll notice in Gemara, you have everything. You really do have everything, right? Of course, you have Tanakh, because we learn, again, we saw the Pesukim, but you also have incredible Moser and incredible Hashkafa. So that's why, again, really everything is in Gemara. And you're going to see this Mishnah is amazing. The Mishnah says, Shimshon halach achar einav. Shimshon followed his eyes. Therefore, again, the Plishtim, when they punished him, gouged his eyes. Ultimately, again, the Plishtim took hold of him and they gouged out his eyes. Avshalom nisgoe b'saro. Avshalom became arrogant because of his hair. Lefichach nitla b'saro. Therefore, Rabbi said he was hung by his hair. Hanged? Hanged? Good. Right? He got stuck by his hair. Right? So the idea of it, this is talking about, of course, again, remember in the battle between Avshalom and his father David, David gave explicit instructions again not to kill Avshalom. Avshalom was riding away on his donkey. His hair, he had a lot of hair. I say that longingly, right? He had a lot of hair. He got stuck. Literally, his hair got tangled in the tree. It's amazing. The donkey, see, he literally got pulled off the donkey. The donkey continued on. Avshalom is sitting there dangling from his hair by the tree. So ultimately, he's killed. He's killed by Yoav and David's other officers. So what happens? And because of also, remember, one of the terribly immoral acts that Avshalom did is that when he took over his father's throne, remember, David chose to run away rather than fight against his own son. Avshalom violated all of the concubines of his father. So because he violated the concubines of his father, lefichach nasnu ba eser lunvios. Therefore, again, there were 10 spears plunged into him. Because he violated 10 concubines, there were 10 spears plunged into him. Shene emar, vayisbu asar anoshe nosek leyoav, ulefishaganav gimol gnevos. And because he stole 3 things, what did Avshalom steal? Leiv aviv, he stole the heart of his father. Leiv bezin, he stole the heart of the court. Leiv yisron, he stole the heart of Klal. So meaning, steal, both in this context, means he deceived. He deceived his father, he deceived the bezin, he deceived Klal Yisrael. So what happens? Lefichach nisku ubo gimol shvatim. Therefore, again, we will see that Yoav himself put 3 swords or 3 spears into Avshalom. Shnei Amar, Vayikach shlosha shvatim bakapo, Vayiskeim b'leiv Avshalom. V'chilin yin atova. Rabbi said, lest you think that Mida Kenegin Mida is only by negative things, is only by sin. It's not true. Mida Kenegin Mida applies when by good things as well. Listen to how beautiful this is. Miriam Hemtina Lamosha Shah Achos. Miriam waited for Moshe for just a moment. This refers, of course, to when Moshe Rabbeinu, his mother, Yocheved couldn't hide Moshe anymore. She puts him in a basket, puts him on the Nile. So what happens? Miriam stays there. Shine Amar, what happens? His sister remained at a distance to see what would happen to baby Moshe. So because she waited for him, Lefichach, Nisakiv Lo Yisrael Dal Zayin Yom. Therefore, I will say when Miriam is afflicted by tzaras, Klal Yisrael waits for her for 7 days. Shnei Amar v'ha'am lo nasad he'asef Miriam. Yosef zocha likpor es aviv, ve'in be'echav gadol mimenu shnei Amar v'ayal Yosef likpor es aviv, v'ayal imo, gam recha v'gam parashim. Yosef was privileged to bury his father, and Yosef amongst his brothers was the greatest. Because the Pasuk says that Yosef went up to bury his father, and together with Yosef were all of the chariots and the horsemen, ultimately of Mitzrayim. Mi lanu gadol mi Yosef. Who is greater than Yosef? Shalonis asik bo ela Moshe. Then remember, I'll say again, who went with Yosef? Who buried Yosef? Moshe Rabbeinu buried Yosef. So what happens? Well, so we know that when all of Klal Yisrael was going to go ahead and take the Biza, take the spoils of Egypt, so Moshe Rabbeinu was gathering the atzamos of Yosef. Therefore, zocha b'atzamos Yosef. Ve'in b'Yisrael gadol mimenu shene'emar, v'ayichach Moshe's atzmos Yosef imo. So Yosef, who was the greatest to bury his father, was privileged to be buried by the greatest, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Mi gadol mi Moshe, shlonis asik bo el ha'makom. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest person in Klal Yisrael, and who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? The Ribono Shel Olam. Shneimar Vayikbar Osa Begai Lo Al Moshe Bilvad Amru. So it's not only, bless you, so it's not only Moshe Rabbeinu, the great tzaddik who was buried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ella Al Kol HaTzaddikim Shneimar. Rather, again, all the righteous merit burial by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bless you, we'll have to see what that means. Shneimar V'halach Lefanecha Tzidkecha Kivot Hashem Yasvecha. Tana Rabbanon Shimshon Be'inav Marad. What does it mean that Shimshon rebelled with his eyes? What does that mean? Shneimar Vayomer Shimshon El Aviv Osa Kachli Kihi Yishara Be'inai. So Shimshon says to his father, take her from me because she is right in my eyes. Now, also remember, the Shimshon story is an exceptionally complex one. And the reason why it's a complex one is because Shimshon marries Philistine women, as we're going to see. But essentially, Shimshon is a deep cover Nazir. I remember Shimshon, we saw from our Nazir days, is a Nazir Mirechem, a very unique type of Nazirus, already declared from the womb. The only way for him to go out and fight against the Plishtim was to be amongst them. Remember, there was no way to wage a battle against the Plishtim because we were outnumbered. We were just outnumbered. There was no way. What Shimshon does is Shimshon becomes part of the Philistine community, and the way he wages battles against the Plishtim is by making his battles not look like a Jew-Philistine thing, but rather look like what? Inter-Philistine squabbles. He is wiping out large number of Philistine men by making it look like, again, he has some type of personal beef with them. Some of it is about women, some of it is about land, and like this, he's able to significantly weaken and diminish Philistine ranks without it looking like Klal Yisrael is waging a war against the Plishtim. But of course, again, it comes with its incredible difficulties and moral challenges as well. So what happens? So Shimshon says to his father, I want you to take this woman for my wife because as my wife, because ultimately she is Shara Be'enai, Lefichach Nabosai. So the idea is that when Shimshon identifies this Gentile woman, he wasn't just marrying her for the sake of infiltrating Philistine ranks, but rather again, there was some personal desire involved as well. That personal desire ultimately goes ahead and erodes the sanctity of his mission, which Nabosai is another incredible Musar, that in life, it's not just enough to do the right thing, you have to do the right things for the right reasons. You see this Maisim Mecholyom all the time. People get engaged in the right causes, but then ego takes over, other thing takes over. Suddenly, they're no longer doing the right things for the right reasons. That tarnishes the entire endeavor. So because Shimshon, although he was on a holy mission, but ultimately there was an element of desire involved, Lefichach, Nikru Plishtim Es'enov. Therefore, the Plishtim gouged out his eyes. Shneem Ar, Vayachazeo Plishtim Anakru Es'enov. Ini, is that true? Vahakse, but the Pasuk says, Va'avivi imolo yadu kimi Hashem, hizu ku, but yet his parents did not know that his entire desire to marry a Gentile woman was because from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is he held accountable? He was on a mission from God. The Gemara says, Ki azal miha basa yishrasi asla. Because at the end of the day, the Pasuk says, Hi yashra be'enav, means that he wasn't just doing this l'shem shemaim, he desired this woman as well. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Tchilaso kilko ba'aza, Lefichach laka ba'aza. Shimshon's, the beginning of his downfall, the beginning of his spiritual decline, was in Aza. Therefore, again, ultimately, he dies in Aza as well. Tchilaso kilko ba'aza, where do we see that the beginning of his downfall was in Aza? Dechsiv, Vayelech Shimshon Azasa, Vayar Hashem Isha Zona. Shimshon went to Aza and he cohabited with a harlot. So because again, that was the beginning of a spiritual downfall. Lefichach laka ba'aza. Therefore, ultimately, again, he's punished in Aza. D'chsiv, v'yaridu oso azasa. The Plishtim brought him down to Aza. That's where they gouged his eyes, and that's where ultimately he dies. V'haksiv, v'yared Shimshon timnasa. Aye, but one second, but the Pasuk says that Shimshon went down to Timna. And there again, that's where also he suffered a moral decline. So yet, trilas kilkulo miha ba'aza haya. But yet, at the end of the day, again, the beginning of a spiritual decline was in Aza. Vahi acharekein. So what happens? It was after that. Vayev isha benachal sorek ushma delila. So we'll say, so what happens? So the Navi tells the story. Shimshon went down to Nachal Sorek. He falls in love with a woman, and her name is Delila. Delila is a Philistine woman. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, ilmalelo nikra shma delila. Even had her name not been Delila, we would have given her the name Delila. Why? Dildala es kocho, dildala es libo, dildala es ma'asav. Both say, Kazlashan of Delila is from dildala. Dildala means to uproot or to detach. She uprooted ultimately. She uprooted his koach. She uprooted his heart. She uprooted his actions. Meaning she went ahead and she uprooted. Meaning she essentially drove the wedge between Shimshon and his heart for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his strength and his actions. Dildul as kocho. She went ahead and she literally uprooted his strength. What does it mean? Dichsiv. Vayasar kocho me'alav. Because we must remember again, Delilah is the one ultimately who cut Shimshon's hair, thereby causing him to lose his Nazarite strength. Dildala es libo. She goes in, she uproots his heart. I'm sorry. Dildala es libo. Tichsiv atira Delilah ki higid la es kol libo. Well, remember, Delilah is pestering Shimshon to tell her, why are you so strong? Why are you so strong? Why are you so strong? And what happens? He doesn't divulge it. He doesn't divulge it until one day he finally does. Dildala es masav di istalik shechina mine. She uprooted his actions because through causing him to do certain things, she caused the shechina to depart from him. Tichsiv vahulo yada ki sara shem me'alav. So atira Shimshon did not know that God departed from him. So remember again, Delilah is asking Shimshon over and over, what's the source of your strength? He refuses to tell her. Finally, he tells her what? Nazir Elokim Ani, I'm a Nazir, and ultimately I allow my hair to grow, that's the source of my strength. So finally Delilah saw it. Now by the way, he told her a couple of other things before and that were not true. Now she finally sees that he's telling her the truth. How did she know that? Mina Yada, Amarebi, listen to this, we'll say, Nikarin Divra Emes. This is an amazing answer. Because words of truth are recognizable. In other words, you can tell when someone's telling you the truth. The converse may not always be true. You can't necessarily tell when somebody's lying to you. Maybe very astute people can. But the words of truth resonate with a certain profundity and sincerity. Amar Abaye, Yada bo ba'osa tzadik, delomat b'kshem shemayin levatala. She realized that what? Shimshon never said the name of God for no purpose. Kevan da'amar nazir elokim ani. But once she said that what? Once he said, I am a Nazir of God, Amra Vadai Kushta Ka'amar. She said what? She said he must be telling the truth. Ultimately, why? Because he is uttering the Shem Hashem. Rabbo said, we will stop here again. We're going to pick up with the story. This is the story of Delilah, and Shimshon is not finished. We'll pick up with the most intriguing parts of the story, Meretz Hashem, tomorrow. Again, Mesilas Hashem at 5:45. And Meretz Hashem will start the daf a few minutes to 6 o'clock. I thank you and the Yashar Koach to everyone for your sponsorships. Halavai Hashem Yizocha to continue to grow and grow, Michael, Achayo, all of us in the days, weeks, and years to come. Well, say just a quick announcement. There is a Shiva home. There is a Shiva home that is in need of.